appointing 400 bishops, Pope Prevost's 2026 challenge. Last week, Pope Leo XIV made a major move by appointing Ronald Hicks as the new Archbishop of New York. But while New York gets the headlines, it is just one piece of a much larger puzzle. Data covering 46 countries representing 80% of the global Catholic Church shows that the new Pope faces a massive task. He needs to find and appoint at least 400 new bishops in the next few years to replace those who are retiring or leaving their posts. The new reality is that the Catholic Church needs leaders with clean files, able to stand the storm of the clergy sexual abuse crisis, and to manage already existing or new cases in their new assignments. The situation for the Catholic Church is similar to the notion of a scissors crisis. If you think of a pair of scissors, one blade is the demand. The church needs leaders who are capable to lead, have clean records, and are willing to prevent more scandals. The other blade is the supply, the pool of qualified priests that, as far as it is possible to see it, is shrinking. When these two blades do not line up, the tool fails. Cutting is impossible. The piece uses a statistical tool called a Z-score to measure administrative stress, which is to say, where the stress is highest when appointing bishops, in other words, where there are most positions vacant or about to be vacant. What the piece shows is where the pressure from many current or future vacancies is building. The available data shows where the pressure accumulates. In that respect, some countries stand out: Cuba and Nicaragua. Cuba is the most extreme case. 72% of its bishops are already past the retirement age of 75. In Nicaragua, the situation is even more complex because the government has forced four bishops into exile, leaving dioceses decapitated, while Rome is unable to respond. The United States and Mexico, major sees in North America such as Chicago, Miami, Mexico City, and Guadalajara, face transitions, and, a bit later, Los Angeles will do it too. In both countries, senior clergy remain in office well past 75 because finding the right successor is proving difficult. In both countries, the issue is sheer volume, but also how to deal with the challenges brought by political instability and racism in the United States and widespread violence in Mexico in the context of the sequels of the clergy sexual abuse crisis in both countries, which frequently are conflated either between those two countries or with others. The data also shows that a stable score can be misleading. Brazil, for example, looks fine on paper, but the analysis suggests this is a statistical mirage. Brazil is years behind countries such as Chile or Mexico, where there has been a debate about the extent of the clergy sexual abuse crisis for the last 30 years or so. Brazil proves how, just because a country does not have a high number of vacancies or bishops in over time, there is no warranty that a crisis is not brewing under the surface. Mutatis mutandis, a country such as Chile appears as stable at this point, but one must be aware that it has been, over the current century, an epicenter of the global sexual abuse crisis. In that respect, even if Pope Francis was able to appoint new bishops, questions remain as to the outcomes of such appointments. The tigers raffle. Finally, there is the human element. Appointing a bishop used to be a straightforward promotion. Today, it's often seen as a tiger's raffle or a poison chalice. Between the intense vetting of a candidate's past and the massive administrative messes they inherit, like in Tijuana or Steubenville, Ohio, an appointment needs a truly deep and thorough vetting process. The piece stresses how Tijuana and Steubenville belong to a category of diocese where Rome prefers to hold any appointments until some sort of analysis or assessment of the current situation has been done in those sees. More details in the full piece at losangelespress.org. Leo XIV's main challenge is not just picking a priest to promote to bishop. It is finding a rather large cohort of men willing to restore hope in their diocese and the church at large, and as next week's piece will prove, fixing a farm system that is struggling to produce the kind of leaders the 21st century church requires.